Wait, are we live?
22nd, Krista.
It's the 22nd. We're here, and Wendell's wearing his Steve Jobs sweater.
Oh, Lord. No, it's not a turtleneck.
Is it? Oh, okay. I thought it was a turtleneck earlier.
It's just all black.
I was ready to make that joke. I was like, oh, I'm going to make that joke.
But we're off our game because I was horribly late today. I was on another podcast.
So. Usually it's me. Wasn't me today. Oh, no. How to whitelist The Verge.
I don't want to whitelist The Verge.
Oh, I'm just giving a spoiler for our first story.
I want to talk about the FCC because they made a critical decision that no one saw coming.
No one.
Who could have predicted?
The FCC has voted to approve the Sprint T-Mobile merger. There's only one dissenting vote. The other dude that was going to dissent said, eh, it's probably fine.
He said, I like money. Do you like money?
So, people don't get any of that money, but that's okay.
Unfortunately for T-Mobile and Sprint, they are being sued into oblivion by individual states, and they can't actually do this until that is resolved. But the DOJ and the FCC are on board.
No, it's just the FCC. It's still got to be final approved by the DOJ, I think. That's what I understood from this article.
No. DOJ had previously approved.
Oh, okay. I thought they rescinded it or something.
Faces one more battle. The FCC and DOJ are the only two federal agencies required. DOJ already gave the companies a thumbs up in July.
Oh, July,
so
okay.
So you're only a couple months late.
Okay, neat. Sorry.
So we got our data. We don't have our data. They have our data. They being the major corporations. And they're using it. They're making money off of it, and it's bad. What can we do about it? Well, Mr. Wyden, who is balls deep in technology, and I don't know, maybe it's a good thing. It seems like he's trying to get some good things done, and this sounds good to me.
New bill promises to end our privacy nightmare and has jail time for CEOs who lie. I love the quote from Ron Wyden here. It's like, Mark Zuckerberg won't take Americans' privacy seriously unless he feels personal consequences. Under my bill, he'd face jail time for lying to the government, Senator Ron Wyden said. So he's Ron Wyden feels personally attacked. You know, Zuckerberg went before Congress and was like, no, we don't know. I like how, like, there's a little bit of juxtaposition here. Like, Mark Zuckerberg lying. What about James Clapper? Anybody remember James Clapper? He was working for the NSA. He's like, no, we don't wittingly collect anything on American citizens.
Those things just show up. I don't know.
And yet we have a bill. Like, we think this is, you know, I mean, I agree that Zuckerberg shouldn't lie, but Clapper seems like lying in either scenario is sort of bad.
All the politicians are just butthurt right now because it's election season and Facebook runs ads.
I don't think it's butthurt. I think this is soapboxing because it is election season.
Yeah.
But this is mostly about fining them if they don't play ball with the data stuff. And it gives you the ability to, it kind of plays on that California law where it's like, okay, you got to make it real easy. It's got to be one button. It's got to be, you know, forever. None of this 3-month nonsense. And if you lie about it, there can be jail time.
Can I? Can there be jail time for Clapper? Because I could get behind this if that was the case.
Non-compete. That's a bad thing. It's weird. Well, I mean, it is a contract, and you do agree to it, but often you don't have a choice.
It's either work here or don't work at all.
So, should we allow such a thing? Senators are weighing in.
Senators propose near total ban on worker non-compete agreements. If you've never encountered one of these, what it literally is when you go to work for an employer right before, like, they're like, oh, great, you're hired, you got the job, everything's good. Here's some paperwork. And in the paperwork is you agree, like, you've been hired as a computer programmer. You agree not to be a computer programmer for anybody else for a year. So, I mean,
so basically, you leave or get fired and
you can't
work. You're just out of a job for a year because that's okay.
The reality is that case law in most states already, like, those are not enforceable. And so this is just like, look, these aren't enforceable. Let's not intimidate workers with this, which seems fine.
Well, like, also, let's not waste people's time with this, like, because I'm sure that this is taken to court all the time.
Yeah. There's a couple narrow exceptions. Like, if you own a pizza place and you sell your pizza place, you can't start a new pizza place. That seems reasonable. But most of the other, like, rank-and-file workers, non-compete, that doesn't seem reasonable most of the time.
Oops. We've had several stories about phones and unlocking them. There was the FBI Apple case, and you know, several like facial recognition or you know face unlock. Is that the same? Is your thumb the same as a password? Blah blah blah. Well, it seems to just be getting worse and worse.
Court rules the defendant must disclose phone password to police and prosecution in first ruling of its kind in state. So, yeah, it's like the defendant must give up their password because the legal reasoning here was that it was a foregone conclusion, quotation marks around that, that there's evidence that the defendant was a methamphetamine dealer or something in exchange for, or just to, so that the prosecution can make that charge stick.
And that, well, no, they got them for a bunch of other things.
But yeah, that's an additional charge.
But they weren't dealing methamphetamine at the time. But they found the phone in the person's purse and through other means were very confident that there was dealing going on. But they needed the evidence from the phone to make the dealing stuff stick.
They tried. They did try prosecuting without it, but it was there wasn't enough, so they had to drop that charge, though. So it hinges on... And the foregone conclusion thing, like, I don't... I mean, wouldn't it... If they could show that, like, a crime was committed at some place... And you were at some place, you know, is that, would you have to testify that you were at some place if it was a foregone conclusion that you were at some place? Because that's not okay under the Fifth Amendment. I don't know.
We have just implemented this year the U.S. Cyber Command, our cyber warfare branch of the
Hailfire.
Military, and it seems like consistently we report. Hey, the cyber warfare people, they took out Target X. And Target X was like, X is like, I don't think so, bro. We didn't get hacked at all. Prove it. You didn't do it.
Exclusive. The U.S. carried out a secret cyber attack on Iran in wake of the Saudi oil attack, according to officials. So, yeah.
Iran says, we didn't get attacked. Prove it. We're fine.
I mean, they were off the internet there for a while.
Well, that was because of the protests.
Or this.
You think they trumped up some protests just to hide it? Stir up the people. We have to hide the fact that the internet's down.
I mean, that's kind of how this reads. Like, but
that's kind of like what would happen in the U.S. Those people would be stirred up enough if the internet wasn't up.
What is Twitter worth to you per year?
I'd probably stop using it for like $500.
Yeah, it wouldn't take that much.
No.
No.
I don't believe it. You'd be refunding that $500 in 2 months.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know how much it would be.
Krista, what about Facebook stalking?
I could probably give that up pretty easy.
What's your number?
My number?
Per year, monetary amount. What are you going to take?
Someone's going to pay me?
Right.
$1 million.
That's not a small number.
No. Listen, I don't care how I'm perceived. I care about getting that money.
No,
and if they're stupid enough to pay me to get off Facebook, sure, I'll take it.
But they're
going to
turn that down. They're like, no, come back with a lower number. And like, what's the smallest amount you take?
The smallest amount I take to not be on Facebook. Probably like, yeah, 500, 1,000, something like that.
No, you're pretty much in line with what everybody said. But now for Google... giving up Google would be tough because Google is very work related. So these numbers, I think, are pretty accurate, I would say.
Would you give up Google for $17,000 a year? The Federal Reserve wants to know. So the Federal Reserve is trying to, the dystopian version of this headline is that the Federal Reserve is trying to finagle with the equation that they use to figure out what our GDP is because it's not really growing in a way that they're currently measuring. And so they think that it is actually growing because of these online services where people don't pay money, but it is worth something to them. So is like Google is worth $17,000. This article, Facebook was like worth $52.
$48. Wow. YouTube is about $1,000.
Ooh, yeah, YouTube would be difficult.
YouTube would be difficult. And Google, you know, 17, which makes a lot of sense. Although, the Federal Reserve... It's like, hey, the economy's doing great in all these ways that we measure because those are the ways that we've cheated and made sure that it looks great. So why isn't GDP going up?
That's what I was thinking.
Looks like we need to find a different way to cheat.
Yeah. I'm still salty that they cheat with the whole the index of the cost of living, because, like, as somebody who kind of sort of manages their budget, it's like the cost of living has gone way up the last 5 years.
Yeah, it has. I was just thinking about that the other day. I was looking at houses online, as I often do.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at houses, like, when I got my first, like, steady job and being like, okay, this isn't too bad. And now I'm like, you can't find anything for that price that's decent. Like,
now it's so high. It's like, are we on the precipice of an economic collapse? Because maybe that would be a bad time to buy a house.
You ever been on the Reddit subreddit, the subreddit r collapse? That's a really depressing subreddit. I don't recommend
it.
Yeah,
but that's been around for 10 years as well.
It also
people get real upset in that subreddit.
It also legit did happen with the housing bubble. Like, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. My housing value is always going to go up. I can buy this McMansion. And then it was like, oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Except it didn't, because the good old Federal Reserve just poured fake money into it and just created a massive, massive amount of debt for everybody else in order to stop that from happening, which would have been like, you know, the forest fire. Yeah, it sucks, but after that, everything's good.
One of the people I know that got sucked into the McMansion thing, they let him refinance. He doesn't have an interest rate, but he's going to be paying it off for like the next 40 years.
Eh. So he's not going to pay it off. That's what you're saying.
Well, if you die with debt, you win, right?
Yeah.
So
he's never moving.
Yeah.
Ever. Probably also won't be able to afford basic maintenance. So good luck with that roof replacement.
We talk about big data and everybody wanting more of it, and the government is definitely near the top of that list. I don't say they're on top of the list. I think Google wants it more, but the government definitely wants a lot of your data. And the problem is none of those entities, the government maybe being at the top of that list, can protect it.
An IRS employee stole identities and went on a 2-year spending spree. This was a software developer.
Two years.
It was really easy for the authorities to find him, but it did take them a little while.
Which, a surprising amount of time.
Yes, 2 years.
Given how blatant it was. It was super blatant.
I mean, all he was doing, if you're an IRS employee, shocking, you have every piece of information that you need about someone's finances. So if you wanted to, say, open a credit card, you've got all that info. Here's the thing. He got them sent to his house.
He not only got an Amex card, because he wanted a higher limit, he actually made payments out of his own bank account on the fraudulent Amex.
Yeah, I mean,
pro criminal tip.
Don't do that.
If you're in the IRS, you would think that you would see examples of people getting nailed for this kind of thing. And yet, and he wasn't, like, he was going on crazy vacations and stuff. Like, he was really living the high life with these credit cards.
Do you think the IRS would let the affected people get a tax deduction for the amount of time they had to spend for the headache?
No.
How vindicated do you think the people who followed him on social media are? They're like, his life can't be real.
He put it on social media? Was he an influencer?
Well, so I'm imagining, like, you know, his friends back home, they're all like, man, I'm really struggling right now. I'm working a lot of hours, and then he's just out in like Cancun every other week, and it's like, how is he affording that?
Yeah, that's disgusting. So it's been a joke for a while now, because it was uncovered recently that our nuclear missiles are launched by floppies, and not even the little floppies. The big ones.
I've never even seen
it. It's not even the big ones. It's the really big ones.
The eight.
There's a joke
which
in here somewhere.
I've never used an eight. It was, well, we had the 5.5 in my day. That was the biggest one. And even those were rare.
Those were on their way out.
Yeah. So, finally, we can stop making those jokes.
The Air Force finally retires its 8-inch floppies from the missile launch control system. It's funny because you're 12.
Yeah.
Now they're using solid-state storage, but they're still using the IBM Series 1 because it's relatively secure from hackers. Let me tell you, that IBM Series 1 was not designed with the internet in mind. And they probably put it on the internet, and it probably shouldn't be on the internet.
I think they should probably air gap the nuclear. And they probably do, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little too important. So, at least they're using something else. That's good to know. So we got our cyber command, and the other thing that Trump announced that was kind of like not really very Trumpish was the moon project.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to get to the moon. And he wanted to do it next week. And I think they were like, okay, that's...
Slow down there, bud.
We like your enthusiasm here, but let's get real about it. So maybe 2024, right? I mean, that's still a very short amount of time to do a moon landing. But those of you who are super excited about that, bad news.
A House Budget Committee has likely killed the 2024 moon landing. I believe that it is better to use the original NASA schedule of 2028. Aww.
Although, yeah, aw, it makes sense to be sad about that. But this is maybe the kind of thing where more better planning is good.
We got to the moon in 8 years before. We could do it again.
Well, that's 4 years.
Five. Oh, well, I thought this was something that he announced at the beginning of his presidency. Did it take 4 years for him to like get around to that? Because I'm pretty sure that was a campaign promise.
You know how the bureaucracy moves. They haven't started on this at all yet. They're still planning. So, yeah, there's no way.
I'm still waiting for, you know, all that public transport that Obama promised.
I'm still waiting for the warrantless wiretapping to stop that candidate Obama promised as well.
Didn't Trump campaign a little bit on that as well?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
it's almost like they're both bad.
They'll walk all that back. Facial recognition is the big thing. And, of course, what really points out the problem with facial recognition is China and Hong Kong. Because, yeah, it's great, and you can stop crime, and it makes things better. But then, if you disagree with the government, it becomes basically a hammer for them to smash your kneecaps. And that kind of brings to light the fact that the U.S. is following suit, and some cities don't want it.
Victory from the EFF. The Berkeley City Council unanimously votes to ban face recognition. I'm a little surprised it took Berkeley. Don't they have a reputation for being, you know...
They're somewhat liberal.
Took them a little while.
Yeah, so that joins three other California cities and Massachusetts, one place in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, there's still the loophole here. They're banning the government from using face recognition. There is no problem with private businesses using face recognition, and there's no problem with private businesses then selling that data to the government, which is what we see happening a lot.
Yeah, but then you have to... The argument is, like, is it too much government if now they're telling private businesses if they can or cannot film people and apply facial recognition? It's a very sticky subject. But where I guess there's that whole like no expectation of privacy thing, but facial recognition goes so much further.
There's no expectation of privacy, but I also have no expectation that, you know, the tiniest of my movements and interactions outside are recorded forever.
I think what should happen here, and again, Hong Kong, you know, they're blazing the trail, is that, you know how like in the 50s, everybody wore hats? We should get to a point in the 20s where everybody wears masks.
That would actually be kind of cool. I would like that cyberpunk future.
Right, that'd be...
I was thinking tribal masks like in RimWorld.
It'd be whatever you want.
the bear masks.
You're going to express yourself with your mask. Mm-hmm. And you know what's going to happen, though, is like all Walmart employees are going to have to wear the same mask, and it's going to be really dystopian and scary.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining the V for Vendetta guy helping me at the meat counter at Walmart. That would be pretty cool.
It's a weird world.
One of the most miserable things that can happen to you in the modern Western world, I guess I'll say, because I can't say that because a lot of people deal with this, but is when your power goes out, because we depend on this stuff for everything, and it really sucks because you lose your refrigerator, it's hot or it's cold, there's no entertainment, there's no hot water, it's just we've come to depend on it, and that's why when a power company just said, hey, you know what? Let's turn it off. A lot of people got upset.
PG&E should compensate customers for power shutoffs, California governor says. I thought this was kind of dumb, and then I read that PG&E actually shut off the power for days in places. And it seems like a lot of people that live in those places complained that there were extended periods with no wind.
Yeah, the cataclysmic storm never came. So...
Well, that and, like, again, we talked about this scenario last week where it's, like, you're someone who's reliant on power for your medicine or your breathing machine or whatever, and now you're just screwed because they're like, well, you should have just made arrangements. It's like, well, who pays to take me to the hospital? Who pays for my hospital bill?
One of the examples they had that was really good, I think it was, like, a convenience store guy that lost all of the stuff in his freezer because...
No power.
Well, what do you have in your refrigerator right now? What do you think the dollar amount is?
Oh, stupid amount, because we just went to the store.
Yeah. And it's, well, I mean, if you could have probably avoided that if you read the news. But if you didn't, and you lose all of that over the course of 2 days, and it all has to be replaced?
Well, no, I mean, like, even if you planned, like, if this were going to happen to me, it's like, all right, I'm going to go get a freezer and some ice, and I'm going to put my stuff on ice. That's good for, like, a day. That's not good for 2 days.
Also, I'm thinking more even if, like, you lose your food, and for most people, like, that sucks, but, like, you can... You're usually going to be okay. I'm thinking of people who are, like, diabetic and need to refrigerate insulin, or, like, you know, more important things like that.
Or what if you just stole somebody's kidneys and you got those in the fridge?
That happens a lot to me.
Yeah. So.
Well, you'd be good in the bathtub for at least 6 hours.
If you've got the ice. But how quick is ice going to sell out in that scenario?
Yeah.
If we get, a hard rain or a light snowfall, and you should see the water section at Meijer. So there's no way you could have found ice.
You have to go up to the mountains. Go get some snow.
Get an ice wagon.
Yeah.
Pack it back down. You ever watch those YouTube videos of them chopping up frozen lakes to sell?
Oh, yeah, where they pull it out with, like, the pick things.
Isn't that the beginning of Frozen?
With horses, yeah. Odd, I've never seen Frozen. But those are fascinating. I bet that was brutal work. San Francisco. So... A town nearby us in the little old bluegrass here just got electric scooters. I've not heard any of the fallout. Have you guys heard?
No. People on WKYT are not happy about it, at least in the comment section.
That's true of almost everything.
Yeah, it's true. You're right.
But it seems like, you know, but by the time it gets here, it's everywhere. That's kind of the rule. So the scooters have really taken over the world, or at least the country. And the first place you get stuff like that is one of the hotbeds of technology and liberalism, like San Francisco. But San Francisco maybe isn't so crazy about that.
San Francisco wants to require companies to get permits before rolling out emerging technology. I'm surprised that there's not already a permit system for this. I was a bit surprised by that. This is a permit for leaving something in public spaces, like leaving something in an easement, a right-of-way, on the street, whatever. You have to get a permit for that. I'm surprised that you didn't already have to get a permit for that.
Did they just drop the scooters off somewhere and, like...
Yeah. Well, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And, like, the, you know, the people threw the scooters in the river. The one guy cut the brake lines because they were just...
They didn't like them, yeah.
They were just laying around. So, kind of makes sense. Although, the phrase emerging technology, it's kind of like you need to get a license for your meme to go viral. Like, can we really predict that? We don't know how successful this stuff's going to be. We're just, you know, throwing stuff against the wall.
I like that in this particular picture, too. Like, this pavement looks like it would be a really rough ride on a scooter. Like, that would not be pleasant to ride on.
The article also mentioned things like delivery robots and crap like that, where it's like, technically, I guess the delivery robot right now would have a right-of-way to, you know, use the sidewalk to get from A to B, but maybe the city should be in the loop on that.
I don't know. It's hard to say where the annoyance ends and stifling new technology begins. But I would probably be super annoyed if there were just scooters everywhere. And people on scooters everywhere. I'd be super annoyed at that. Because if they're anything like the bicyclists, oh, we don't want them.
We have a handful of responsible cyclists in this city, but most of them are wildly reckless.
I don't care how responsible you are. Until you can get to 45 miles an hour, you don't belong there.
But the ones who are responsible are usually riding, like, on the shoulder on the sidewalk, and, like, they've got the little flashing lights and their
vest
and their
helmet. If they got, like, the skin-tight suit and the teardrop helmet, they're in the road.
Yeah, that's true.
Those people are trash.
I've seen, like, a little old man riding around with, like, the full safety gear.
And these roads, you can't always be on the side. Because sometimes it's just a giant ditch.
Yeah.
A crumbling road.
Which, did you guys in your driver's ed class have to take, like, a lesson about how to take a ditch?
No.
We did that in ours. Like, you know, if you're on a little country road and you need to take a ditch, like, here's how you get your car in and, like, safely get it out of the ditch. That was part of our driver's ed.
That's, you know, relevant.
Yeah.
To where you grew up. I am always shocked when I watch a TV show, or not when I watch a TV show, when I read articles about people getting convicted for crimes where they just admitted to it, just straight up. And
they're like, well, you caught me.
Or, you know, they were coerced or whatever. Because every TV show that I watch, they do it correctly, or at least some of them do, where they just say, I want a lawyer. Because there are rules. And once you get that lawyer, unless that lawyer is, you know, having a stroke, they will advise you not to say anything. Which is why this story surprised me so much.
Infamous police interrogation firm sues Netflix for defamation over criticism of its interrogation technique. We're talking about Good Cop, Bad Cop, and the Reed Foundation. So, yeah.
And it turns out, some of those, you know, the people who say, yes, I did it, didn't actually do it. It's just that they're very, very susceptible to this kind of psychological manipulation. And they admit to things they didn't do. And that's what the Netflix specials were about. And this Reed Foundation, who has admitted in several various ways to say, okay, maybe that's not the best thing in the world, and yet they still license it, which, how do you think that works exactly?
You send your investigators to like a 5-star resort in Hawaii for a couple of weeks while they get training?
I guess. Well, it definitely couldn't be like a per use thing, right?
No.
But anyway,
it's credibility for the jury. It's a prop for the jury. It looks great for the jury.
They're saying that, you know, no, it's still legitimate and you're hurting our business by making these claims and they're not realistic or they're not true.
They might succeed in their lawsuit because I was really surprised that the federal lawsuit against the guy that was like how to take a lie detector test, I was surprised things went as badly for that guy as they did.
It seems like any kind of circumventing the system, even if it's absolutely your right to do so, like jury nullification, if you try to spread the word about the truth of that, they bring the hammer down on you as hard as they can.
Yeah.
They put you under the jail. So, not surprising. In other news that can be filed under surprising no one. I mean, really, who didn't see this coming? Because if you know anything at all about how the internet works, the mechanics of this were simply not possible.
UK has dropped its plan for an online pornography age verification system. Climbdown follows difficulties with implementing the plan to ensure that users are over 18. This was like the craziest thing that UK has tried.
I thought this had already just been dropped.
Hold my Brexit.
I didn't realize that it took them this long.
It had been delayed.
Yeah.
And they did actually, didn't they build like a early adopter kind of thing? And you could have gone and actually gotten your ID preemptively when they turned it on.
They were going to opt everybody in at the ISP level, and then you had to opt out, and it's just like, oh.
But you could like pre-order.
Yeah.
Pre-order your porn. Porn pass.
How addicted are the people who like pre-ordered it? Because they're like, I can't be cut off for like a day.
You think they could just stockpile a little bit? I guess, I don't know. But that was never going to work. And do you think deep down a lot of those lawmakers actually thought it was possible, or was this just pure publicity the entire time?
I think deep down they actually thought it was possible because they just can't fathom a world where like those kinds of things are possible and or not possible or whatever. Like they don't understand technology to the point.
Technology is magic.
Perhaps the hubris of they control their world so completely that the idea that things like that would be out of their control is foreign to them, which is perhaps a scarier situation when you really think about it.
But yeah, scary in the sense that those are the people in charge.
Yeah.
And speaking of cutting edge technology in the world of public service, the world is also waking up to a new kind of addiction.
The UK's Public Health Centre for Gaming Disorders marks a new era in fighting tech addiction.
Addiction?
Addiction. Did I say addiction?
You did.
Addiction. I'm sorry. Addiction. I was
unauthorized
thinking,
math.
Pocket calculators are destroying the UK.
I said addiction in my head.
So this
okay,
is...
one of us will mess up in a minute.
Obviously, you know, people have been addicted to video games since video games have existed, right? I think that's a fair assessment. What is that noise?
It sounds like a leaf blower.
A vacuum cleaner.
Oh, okay. And I wonder if the mics can pick that up. Engagement challenge.
Yeah.
But this is more of the modern era where video game companies have figured out that you can monetize that addiction. So loot boxes and season passes and, you know, all the nonsense that they're rolling out into games seem to... Because when you were addicted to a video game before, like World of Warcraft, for example, there was a lot of World of Warcraft addiction. But it cost you... How much a month was that? Like $16? And you sat in your house... Yeah,
you went through a lot of Mountain Dew.
There were problems, but it was sort of not life-destroying. At least it took a long time. But when you spend all your money at the same time, then it immediately comes to light.
Yeah. This is aimed at people under 25, though. So maybe developing mentally, I guess, is what's implied here. So, I don't know. I think that... the recent WoW Classic relaunch thing, is that addiction or is that nostalgia?
That's cashing in on nostalgia for sure.
Is it the 1-2 punch of both addiction and nostalgia?
Yeah, well, I think it's nostalgia-based addiction.
I remember those days that I was completely methed out. Man, I miss those days.
When I was a younger man.
I think a lot of people really feel that way, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So someone in our forum posted a thread that was like, I think I might be addicted to a game. Am I? And he like listed out some stuff and people were like debating whether or not. I don't think he was.
Hmm.
Well, he said he like quits when he gets frustrated. And I was like, you're probably not addicted if you can still quit.
There was a story about a guy who spent over $100,000 on a mobile Transformers game. Yeah.
Who are these people that like...
I mean, it's not even that popular of a game. I'd never heard of it. I don't think a lot of people had heard of it.
I had a friend. She got back into Neopets, which is like girls' version of WoW. And she had spent like, I think she said like $100 on like some stuff on Neopets. And then she's like, then I had to quit because I realized I was spending real world money on stuff for Neopets and I'm a grown ass woman. I have to stop.
I'm sure I guess it's maybe those timing mechanics. You know how a lot of mobile games do that? It's like, oh, hey, you're out of lives. You could wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or you could give me $5. But like, how else would there be $100,000 worth of monetization in a Transformers game?
Star Citizen would like your email address.
Star Citizen, it's still not out, right?
Yeah, no. But, you can buy $100,000 worth of ships and other stuff with it. I mean, that's a thing.
I'm amazed at the people who defend that game.
I was trying to think of a game that I maybe like the last game that I had an addictive response to, and it's like Stellaris and that kind of thing. But the last game that I was really sucked into, like really, like I have to know what happens next, was Half-Life. And I wasn't expecting Half-Life to be as good as it was when I played it, but it was so good, it was like I have to know what happens next.
I remember having that reaction with Portal 2.
I think
like I got angry one night because I thought it was almost over, and then I had more puzzles to solve, and I was like, I just want to know.
But I think those days are kind of over.
Yeah.
Because of the constant news cycle.
Yeah.
The gaming news. Like Outer Worlds, that comes out like next week, right? Or this week. And, or is it November?
I think it's real soon because you can, it's seeding for download.
But they've already shown like the first hour in various videos. So... that sort of surprise about a gem of a game that just takes you and sweeps you off your feet. I don't know if we're never going to get that again. We're always, the best we're ever going to do from now on is just meeting our elevated expectations.
The hype train was not disappointing.
Right. That's it arrived on time.
That's sad.
I had that same sort of immersive experience with The Forest, but only because like the game was in development for so long that when it first launched and like everyone reviewed it, the story mode wasn't done yet. But then, like, a couple years later, they finished the story mode and no one really wrote about it. So you could still have that experience.
I don't know if I'd rank it up there with Half-Life.
You had a bad experience because you had a bug, but...
Well, we had good times before. The bug was at the very end.
Yeah, but I had played it with another group of friends and had a blast. I love that game.
Is that some sort of derogatory comment about us? Because I'm not going
to... No, you bugged out, and I'm just saying that's your fault, and...
I also got motion sick that one time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was when we did the VR version.
You know who else bugged out?
Literally everybody.
More people who were on board with Facebook's Libra.
Facebook's digital currency has been dealt another blow. I forgot who.
Oh, this was the G7.
Oh, the G7 is out on Libra. I really hope the story about China is next.
The G7 has said, I don't know, bro.
Hard pass.
We hang on to a lot of our power by controlling money. It seems like you're looking to control money. And
that's our job.
Gonna have to pass on that one, I think. So, obviously in the U.S., it's hit a bit of a wall. But the rest of the world is now weighing in saying, yeah, I'm not feeling it.
Except for China. Do we have the story about China?
No, that's not how.
The arrangement of the stories is for the best. Okay. So just try not to foreshadow. So satellites. A lot of satellites are going up. And we've got all these new companies that are popping up for private space flight. And that's their bread and butter, right? Got to get those satellites in the sky. So what happens when we do that for years and years and years?
SpaceX and OneWeb broadband satellites raise fears about space debris. Senators warn of a cascade of collision and ask the FCC to work with NASA and the FAA. So I was thinking that, oh, they're going to launch a couple of hundred satellites, right? No, it's like 3,500.
That's a small amount, Wendell. You're overreacting.
Well, I mean, when you think about, you know, the area of a sphere and how far up they are, yeah, there's a lot of room up there. But let's also think about cars, right? Like, we're at the Model T era of satellites. So what happens when we get to modern car manufacturing levels of satellites?
I'm reminded, there's a story about the Model T. There were only two Model Ts in all of Ohio, and they were in a head-on collision because they went through a T intersection at the same time that didn't have stop signs. Like, stop signs hadn't been invented yet.
It's classic Ohioan for you.
Well, there's probably only
finding ways to get.
It's probably an urban legend. It's
probably only two satellites over Ohio to get a time.
There have been a lot of, like, even right now we have a lot of situations where one or more of the satellites have to do a maneuver, but they only have a finite amount of fuel. So it is perhaps prudent to have some sort of requirement that these satellites can initiate a maneuver to burn up in the atmosphere. They're not as big as traditional satellites, so there's that, which is good.
So it probably won't destroy your house if it lands on it, but...
No, yeah, they'll burn up. Especially the low orbit ones. Because those can degrade very slowly.
Yeah.
So they just, like, the angle will... They'll be in there for so long, they're never getting down here.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, yeah, I think that's the idea, is... We need a contingency plan. And they did talk about a lot of those satellites have an operating lifetime of like 5 years, which ain't very long, considering, you know, they're going to be up there forever if we don't bring them down. They also talked about how some, the space agencies, or at least companies that would contract with the space agencies, are working on maybe building satellite cleanup services. Yeah.
Deploy a big net and just collect the debris and land.
Or I'm picturing just a little, you know, drone or something that you drive around and knock them down into the orbit or into the atmosphere. China, they're having a tough couple of weeks. What is this? I think the 20th week of the Hong Kong protests.
Oh man, we got so much news about that in the business section.
So yeah. It seems like every response to the protests from China has been ban that, put that person in jail, stop that, do everything you can, erase that from everyone's memory. And you got to think the censors are like, how much sleep are they getting?
They're just working overtime right now.
They're killing themselves.
They're crying.
And this was interesting. So China actually, maybe proactively, has come up with a nice little app to take care of some of these problems.
China's Study the Great Nation app enables spying via backdoor. This is supposed to be an informational and historical application where you could download and learn more about China's history and blah, blah, blah. But it is just straight up malware. Like, it is a platform for launching some really insidious stuff on your devices.
It has essentially... Now, it was... They pointed out, if you were just writing an app, you would never go to these links of obfuscation. Like, this thing was seriously, seriously nailed down to try to keep people from taking it back apart. But they did manage to understand. It was like, yeah, it kind of has administrator access. We can't tell what it's doing with it exactly, but it has it.
And it shouldn't.
And it can do almost anything at once. But spying is just one part of the equation here. It's maybe the worst part, but the other part is, This thing teaches you about Chinese culture and history, especially a lot about the president, Xi Jinping here. And Jinping, is that his name?
Jinping, yeah.
Xi Jinping. And you have to pass these tests in order to do certain things in Chinese society. So, like, I think credit can be based on it, getting a government job, and some workplaces require that you install this app on your phone to get a job at that workplace.
That's weird. Why would they require install an informational app? Can I get this in PDF form?
I know, it's constantly updated. Yeah, you need a live connection.
The great nation's history is always updating with them.
Why is my battery getting hot? My phone's going to be dead in 15 minutes. That's weird.
Because it loves you. That's the glow of communism, taking care of you.
I seem to have been flagged. My phone's saying that they're coming to pick me up right now.
Already gone.
Are we going on holiday?
Yeah. Going to the kidney farm. So, from the Hong Kong fallout, we had the big Apple controversy because Apple had an app on the App Store and the protesters were using it. And there was a lot of waffling back and forth, but ultimately, Tim Cook decided, and you know it was his decision, right? Like, yeah. That had to go to the top. No, we will not have the app. And he gave some sort of half-assed excuses as to why, but maybe there was more to it.
CEO Tim Cook met with a Chinese state regulator days after controversially booting that Hong Kong map app that we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks. I think it was in response to this story, but maybe not. But there was a new quote from Tim Cook that I hadn't seen before, which was something to the effect of, there was credible, you know, they had provided credible evidence that protesters were using this to attack police, and that was not okay.
But there was also evidence of the converse of that.
Yeah, the police attacking the crap out of protesters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the guy who got shot point blank by a cop?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they used the app to track him. I mean, he was right there, but... There was backlash against protesters outside of the protests.
Tim Cook said that the state regulator said that that was just propaganda, that one protester actually shot that other guy in the eye with the...
Right.
It was a protester on protester.
Oh, there's a video. Is that a deep fake?
It could be a deep fake.
Totally a deep fake.
Seems unlikely.
And a bit of lighter news out of China. Lighter than air. Not really. They have this exciting new... prototype helicopter, which looks like it came from an 80s episode of Airwolf.
China's helicopter prototype looks like a UFO. The blades are on the inside. They've got it at an angle here, so it looks like it's solid. It's not solid.
There it is.
Yeah. It looks a little bit too much like the helicarrier, like one of the wings from the helicarrier in the Marvel movies.
I'm just looking at the two little dudes in there, and it's like, hey, LMAO, with the aliens.
That's the shark. Now, this has been tried before. This was the original one.
From the 50s.
But this was a U.S. project.
Yeah.
It did not work out too well.
No.
Now, I'm wondering...
Maybe it will this time.
It'd be tough to bail out of that thing. I guess you can't bail out of a helicopter anyway.
Not really. Not safely.
Maybe you could have a better bailout from this, I guess.
The blades are safely protected in the enclosure.
Yeah, until the enclosure is ripped apart by 50 caliber rounds. And they come into your little containment area.
LMAO.
It doesn't look cool. It looks dumb. Is it sitting on bricks?
I have to say that the one in the old photo does look cooler. I know it's not objective, but...
This was on display at some kind of thing. It was not flying.
Also, I think that's an illegal level of window tint. They're going to get pulled over.
We learned, what was it, the prison? They learned that the inmates can't know if you're watching them, so.
Hmm?
It was the prison where they did the panopticon research. You just had the observation tower, and you couldn't see if somebody was watching you, so you just always assumed somebody was watching you at all times.
Oh, when the... You're saying when this helicopter is observing the protesters, for example?
Yeah.
So this was the story you were talking about, and here's a pro tip if you're a government leader, right? And you're sitting there, and it's like, are we the bad guys?
Are we the baddies?
Here's one thing that you can use as a litmus test, you know, to let you know. If Mark Zuckerberg comes up with a plan, and you say to yourself, oh, we should do that, you're the bad guy.
China's cryptocurrency plan has a powerful partner, Big Brother. Facebook's Libra project led by Beijing to accelerate its efforts. The government could soon know a lot more about how people are spending. This article is amazing because it's got quotes from the people in China that to us sound insanely dystopian. Like, oh yeah, with cryptocurrency, we can see all the tiniest minutia of every transaction that everybody is going to do. We can know everything. That sounds great. Let's do it.
And it's almost, those quotes, it's almost like an afterthought. And because they'll say all those things that you're saying, which sounds like, you know, just totalitarian control. And then the reporter's like, well, you mean for smugglers and drug dealers, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're exactly right. That's what we want to do. So we got to make it clear, though, because the way you read that, this is not Libra. This is China. Like, China's never going to allow Libra.
Yeah.
This is China doing their own government version, which, I mean, that's dystopian,
it's
right?
It's inspirational.
That's like only an evil communist regime, like a comic book evil regime, could ever do something like that.
Fear of Facebook spurs momentum for the Fed to build its own digital currency. I see where you're going with this. Yeah, the Fed would really like to have its own digital currency too. Although, I don't think the Fed will ever do this because of things like HSBC. Like, we know they're up to their eyeballs in terribleness, like the whole HSBC arms deal thing. So I don't think the Fed's going to touch it.
Yeah, a blockchain would introduce some problems there, but I think they would always do it in parallel. And I think it would
two
always.
Two sets of books.
Well, no, I think it would always settle in dollars. So dollars would still exist for those kinds of things.
You mean to tell me that Ma's Car Wash in like rural New Jersey is getting $4.7 million a month from the CIA? What's going on with that? It's like, oh, don't worry about that. It's fine.
But it could also be, you know, I mean, they understand. The people at the Fed, they're evil, but they're not dumb. And they understand that their version of money is inherently flawed. It's debt-based, and that's a problem. And when something better comes along, they better have something to compete with it, or they're done.
Like cocaine?
I don't think cocaine would be a good currency, because you shouldn't use currency that can be consumed.
Well, like, we don't have enough money. We need to generate some more money. I know, we'll farm drugs in some other part of the world. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, I know, they want to do that, but if they lose out, if people are buying cocaine with Libra, then they lose their ultimate power. So maybe you give up some of those fun little perks to still have a competing product. Argentina. There's a country we don't talk about very often, especially when it comes to technology. And maybe this is one of the reasons why.
Argentinian security researcher has been arrested after tweeting about a government hack. The government seized all of his stuff on a search warrant because he tweeted about it. The search warrant was said that they thought that he was involved in the hack, but literally the security researcher just tweeted about it.
And not even necessarily, he talks about the hack, but not in detail, but it was more about the leak. All the data that was lost from the hack. And he was like, oh my God, look at all this data. This is bad. And they showed up his house.
Yeah.
Their defense for this, which is just hilarious, was, bro, we showed up at a lot of people's houses.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
This wasn't targeted. So yeah, here's the tweet.
This is not the first time a security researcher has been targeted either. This is not the first incident, I should say. So it sure does look like the Argentinian authorities are killing the messenger, or at least targeting the messenger to try to suppress these kinds of things.
Legora? So Legora is the hacker that they're looking for. And I don't think they had any reason to believe that this guy was Legora or any of the people that they raided. But I guess they were just trying to get any kind of information that they could.
What does Gora mean?
Or suppress talking about it. Engagement challenge.
Yeah, I don't know what Gora means. Monolingual. Master race.
I would love to be properly Duolingo.
And it's not just Argentina that's having some trouble with pesky, you know, people getting uppity and reporting news. They also have some issues in Lebanon. And this harkens back to, was it Africa where they tried this?
Yeah.
The old social media tax.
Chaotic protests erupted in Lebanon after its cash-strapped government tried to launch a 20 cents per day tax on using Skype and other social and WhatsApp and some other social media apps. So yeah, the people were not having any of this. Some of the protest signs were actually very funny and in English. So I think they knew that they were going to be on English-speaking news sites.
Well, that's the Hong Kong people are now carrying American flags because it's like they know that, you know, that China's not going to help them. So
we'll have some stories about that in the business section.
But 20 cents a day, and this was the same thing in the African countries. I think it was much lower in Africa. Wasn't it like 5 cents a day?
Yeah, well, the economy is much worse there.
Yeah, so, but their income per month can, it's shockingly low in dollars. So 20 cents a day is actually pretty big for them. And it's crazy that you would pay 20 cents just to communicate with people. I mean, the internet was supposed to be this thing that pulled down those barriers. I mean, who thinks about long-distance phone calls anymore? That's really not a thing.
That was like a big part of our lives growing up because we had to make calls from across the country.
And it was really expensive.
Yeah. You did it after like, I think it was 9.
So
you never did it early.
Skype and WhatsApp literally freed a lot of people from those things. And now they're going to bring it back? Mm. No, sir, they said. And they, like, I think they burned it. Did you see the giant building in flames? They're not playing around in Lebanon. Moving on to social media, Mr. Zuckerberg has taken a lot of flack about the whole let political ads say whatever they want thing. And he's trying to spin it. I don't know that he's succeeding.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says in an interview he fears the erosion of truth, but defends allowing politicians to lie in ads. His approach to political speech has come under fire in recent weeks. So, yeah. I mean, we reported last week about the whole Elizabeth Warren was like, all right, you won't take down this Trump ad that's lying, then I'm going to make an ad that lies too, which is, you know, the perfect solution.
Which is what they've done forever, though. They do the same thing on TV. Right. Like,
but I kind of understand where he's coming from here. And, you know, I know it's scary to say that about Zuckerberg, but we actually get a lot of comments because other people don't read the comments. You know, they just dump whatever's in their mind and move on with their day, which, you know, that's fine. I don't expect you to. But we'll do a story and get both sides. We'll get the pro-Trumpers and the anti-Trumpers both bashing us. And I think that's what Zuckerberg kind of saw in the tea leaves here. It was like, if I step in here, I'm just going to immediately take flack from the other side. And then if I try to balance that, everybody's going to hate me more than they already do. So I should just let them do what they want. And,
well, from a consumer standpoint, too, do you really want Facebook to be the person deciding what's truthful?
Like? He actually said that.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I don't think that we should be the arbiter of this kind of thing. So, and he's right, in a way. It's kind of disturbing, but
he is logical. So, you know, he's a robot, but he's logical.
His logic units are on point.
Would you, would you believe that this was something that was of concern for broadcast radio way back in the day? And you know how they solved the problem? They made the local station operator legally responsible for the situation.
But that was the equal time thing. That's what you're talking about, right?
Equal time and some other things. That has been eroded over the years.
Vastly so, because like I said, TV, it's literally just lie after lie.
Yes.
But time doesn't... Time is not a dimension on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's up to you how much time you spend in a given thing. I guess the ads... The ad placement is somewhat controlled.
Well, it also used to be the truth in advertising thing as well. Like up through the 70s, before like the whole corporate controlled whatever, the local station or the local affiliate that was running whatever was responsible to make sure that, you know, ABC XYZ. So you could actually bring a legal case. Like there probably should be a legal mechanism that, you know, when Trump is lying about Biden, for example, that he could actually sue to stop and get an injunction.
But there, how do we know? See, you're talking about plugging up the courts,
yeah,
with a billion cases,
which they move so slow that
Trump will go to his grave saying that he's not lying, he's right about it, and Biden will go to his grave saying the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say that goes all the way to the Supreme Court, and we waste a billion taxpayer dollars. The Supreme Court is politicized. you never escape it.
Yeah. It's like, on what basis do you believe that? It's like, tea leaves. It's like,
At some point, you got to let people make their own decisions. And
that can't be allowed, Ryan.
Well,
I would like to have people have better critical thinking skills, but it was not to be.
So Zuckerberg, pointing out the whole, you know, like coming under fire from both sides, clearly Facebook has been a little bit liberal thus far. And Zuckerberg himself is unapologetically liberal, left-leaning at least. And I think he's trying to fix that perception at least.
Inside Zuckerberg's private meetings with conservative pundits. This is from Politico. It's a lengthy and quote-unquote off-the-record gathering was held at one of their homes in California. They come as the social media giant fends off accusations of liberal bias. So yeah, they are actively looking for how to defeat at least that perception.
I wish I was a fly on the wall. And they're like, yeah, we need you to stop aligning with the left. And he's just like, I only align with the truth. Or like, you know, he's just like a completely robotic, like short answers. And they're like, do you want, you know, money, alcohol, women? And he's just like, I only want the truth. Like,
I can't change my program.
Yeah. Him being a robot will never not be funny to me.
So yeah. I don't think there's going to be a lot of changes. Although some of the people, I don't know if they named them, but they said, well, we had some good conversations, and I think he kind of gets it, but it's still a problem. I don't know. As someone who doesn't use Facebook, I just can't care about any of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Let them devour themselves.
Oh, they will.
The unwashed masses. I'm better than them. Facebook has had a tough year because of all this, and also because, as we pointed out a lot of times, Facebook is not hip anymore. It's a place for very unhip kinds of people, which is probably why the politicians are advertising there so heavily, right? Because that's where the voters are right now. That's where the old people are.
Also, Facebook, we talked about last week, was lying about all those video accounts. Man, we got millions of people watching these videos. Oh, let's pivot to videos. Oh, we were lying.
And yeah, so maybe unsurprising to see this headline.
Facebook loses its spot in the top 10 on list of most valuable brands. And so begins the MySpace-ening.
Oh.
I think they'll hang on a lot longer than MySpace did. But yeah, it's inevitable. Yeah, that it's going to crumble. They're at number 14. They peaked at 8.
On the bright side, I can't wait to see the TV show that's like a buddy cop sort of story with Mark Zuckerberg and Tom. Tom's just real chipper and sweet, and Mark doesn't understand the human world.
It's like Burn Notice, except instead of Burn Spies, they're ex-dot-comers, so they're going around fighting crime.
What if Tom is, like, really jaded? Like, he used to be a really chipper young man who wanted to be friends with everyone, but now he's like, I'm just me and my whiteboard here in this room.
You think they'd use the Reed technique? Which one would be the good cop?
It's going to be evil cop and hideously evil cop.
I think bad cop would be Tom because, you know, Tom's jaded and he's too human, whereas, you know, Zuckerberg's not human enough. They have to learn from each other.
Tom, like, you know, busts their balls and he threatens them and stuff, and then he leaves the room and Zuckerberg comes in and just does the Sith lightning.
just like, calm down, everyone.
No, bring Tom back in. Please, no more Sith lightning. You remember those stories about the absolute human scum that would go after these Minecraft people and be like, hey, I hit you with 2 copyright strikes. I know it was fake, but it doesn't matter because if I hit you with 1 more, they're going to delete all your content. Pay me money. Well, was it years now?
Yeah, it's been years.
YouTube finally, the snail, finally caught up and did something about it.
YouTube gets alleged copyright troll to agree to stop trolling YouTubers. 25,000, which seems like they let him off kind of light, but he also agreed to stop using YouTube for anything and to stop filing any kind of notices or anything like that. 25 grand for all that headache.
He probably made more than that.
He probably did.
Because he was hitting them for like a grand each, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Sad. That is not justice served. So last week we talked about the big Twitter rule about world leaders saying that, we have rules and certain world leaders, meaning Donald Trump, have violated those rules, but we're not going to do anything about it because they're world leaders. And they took a lot of flack for that. People were not happy because, you know, the anti-Trump people really got a hold of that and ran with it. So now they're kind of trying to walk it back, but not really.
Twitter says it will restrict users from retweeting world leaders who break its rules. So they can still say terrible things, but your ability to repeat the terrible things will be limited.
But you can... Now, I don't understand the semantics here. Maybe you do, because you're a Twitter power user. You can't retweet them, but you can tweet quote them?
Yeah, so...
What's the difference?
Retweet is effortless. You can just retweet it, and it'll just go to all of your people. But if you want to, you can take the tweet and add some of your own context to it, or like copy-paste, and it'll show that originally they said that. So you could take like part of it and then comment on that part of it.
Mm.
And then in the UI, you can tell that that's not
something that you
said.
About.
It's something that they said, and you're just kind of responding
block quoted.
But it won't count as a retweet.
Yeah.
In the statistics, right?
Yeah.
But I could do that without my own commentary, and functionally, it would be a retweet.
Yes.
So this is really nothing.
Yeah, probably a nothing burger. It makes it harder for people to just... Because some of those viral things, like, because my feed gets polluted with that, and somebody's just blindly retweeting something, and it's just like, come on now.
I always find it a little bit suspicious when someone who the authorities are after all of a sudden has a hard drive just packed with child pornography. And perhaps that's my naivete on how prolific child porn is. But there was also that time that the NSA got caught with that software.
they got caught with software that was literally doing that for that purpose.
There was a function name.
Yeah.
Like
plant child porn or something like that. Yeah. So,
and you like to think that maybe, you know, everyone's not a horrific monster.
Now, this guy probably is a horrific monster, just based on his own communications.
Well, think about, like, vigilante. Like, a tech vigilante also knowing that would certainly do this as well.
Mm.
Gab and Twitter served with search warrants over a neo-Nazi that has been arrested on child porn charges.
So, yeah.
It's like word soup.
This guy, that's the Gab logo. Krista, rate that logo.
I like it, actually. I think it's cool. It probably reduces fairly well, except for the nostrils. The nostrils wouldn't reduce well.
It's too reminiscent of Pepe and the negative suggestion of that.
Listen, you can't let Pepe completely ruin your whole concept of frogs. One thing I don't like about the logo, scroll up a little bit more. We'll talk about it for a minute, is you can tell that they didn't smooth out the curves between the eye where it junctions into the forehead. You can see, like...
Oh.
Where there's two separate circles there, yeah.
Right here?
Yeah.
I'm sure that they would be like, that was intentional.
It probably wasn't. It should have been redrawn, but it's fine.
Well.
Anyway.
That graphic designer should just jump off a bridge.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this guy, you know, Gab was the place where you're supposed to go when Twitter won't let you tweet. And not surprisingly, some of the worst parts of Twitter ended up there. And this guy has some, you know, white nationalist stuff to talk about. And so... Yeah, child porn. And this is one of those things where it's a little bit scary that they can come after these private companies to get info about you. But then again, child porn, and who's going to defend it? Which also makes me more suspicious about the charges, because child porn is one of those things where people just stop questioning it. They're like, oh, no, yes, burn that person at the stake.
Yeah.
That's what we want. So, in hindsight, this was a bad story to end on.
No, it's kind of, it's like dark. There's not really anything else to comment on it. Yeah. Like, it's sad.
It's the darkness of the level one news. There's going to be a lot of technology news this week, but we can't talk about it.
We got a lot of really nice comments on the last news as well.
Or actually next week. This week is compressing
Thank
my
you
brain.
Guys.
It's because of the cat.
It was that, well, so it was 50-50, like, people were really happy with the cat story, and they were like, you guys are great, I love watching your news. And then the other half was people being like, I can't believe you didn't know who that truck company was. And it was like, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not from your country.
Well, it's just, how often
Europe
am I buying trucks? Yeah.
Apparently it's well known in Europe, not...
Oh, I thought it was like Sweden or something, or Switzerland.
I don't know.
You get Sweden and Switzerland mixed up a lot, so...
Yeah, they're the same thing.
I don't think so.
Yay, America.
We'll see you tomorrow.